This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I am Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. Lembah Pantai, a constituency of 80,346 voters, represents the dichotomy that is Kuala Lumpur. It includes the 1% in Bangsa and also the B40 in the People's Housing Programs in Kerinci and Pantai Dalam. So this morning, we have with us its Member of Parliament, Fahmi Fazil, to tell us the challenges of being a KL MP and what he plans to do to improve the lives of the people there. Now, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill. You were here last May 2018, shortly after your, I would say, surprising win with a majority of 5,000. But before that, happy belated birthday, YB, but I shouldn't call you YB, right?
Just call me Fahmi.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We all know it's on February 4th. But before we dive into Lembah Pantai, you are also PKR's Director of Communications. So I'm going to ask straight out. We see reports that Bersatu, PAS and UMNO are joining forces. Now, it's the Pakatan Harapan coalition breaking up?
I don't think so. I think, firstly, I apologize for my slightly baritone register this morning. I'm recovering from I completely lost my voice yesterday over the course of the day's program.
Was it so stressful, all this news?
No. It's just the weather, I think. But I think a lot of this is, I think, just the kind of political noise. It's not signal. It's not real. We've heard from Dr. Mahathir himself saying that he has no intention of forming any government with PAS or UMNO. He said it numerous times. It's as though members of the media don't want to believe him. But I think he's quite genuine in saying what he said. He said it after the Malay Dignity Congress. He said it again just a day or so ago.
But for me, at the same time, we've got this new buzzword, Pakatan National. Have you heard it, right? But it must warrant some level of investigation, because even your party president, Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, went to check if the stories are true with regards to, you know, defection from Amana and PKR. So it can't just be noise, right?
Well, I think it always is helpful just to be sure. We of course, don't take things lying down. But at the same time, I have to say, at least the signal coming from Putrajaya is that there's no change. If there's any change, inshallah, God willing, it will happen after APEC.
Okay, and how is the relationship between the coalition members? Because there's no smoke without fire. Because you do have, all the different parties have divergent views on key issues, from education to economic policy and even religion.
I think we have our regular weekly meetings, the Majlis Tusah, the Secretariat, Pakatan Secretariat. So I sit in that committee, and this is the working committee after the Presidential Council. As far as we're concerned, we meet regularly as far as possible. Many of the members are now ministers and deputy ministers. But I can say that there's a lot more being in government for now almost 2 years. We have a lot of room to discuss, to look at these differences and find common ground. And I think we're very practical, very pragmatic. I think we want to make sure that the mandate given by the Rakyat in GE14, we fulfill as much as we can, given the kind of economic realities currently the country is facing.
But we still have this perception of a lot of infighting and somewhat instability. But do you think this stems from the fact that we don't know who is the next prime minister?
I think it's quite clear. Dr. Mahathir has said it numerous times. I think the 7th of January 2018 document that was signed by all of the party leaders, including Tun Dr. Mahathir and Tan Sri Mohideen, Dato' Sri Dr. Wan Azizah, Tuan Haji Mat Sabu and Saudara Lim Guan Eng at that time, clearly stated that the 7th Prime Minister from Pakatan Harapan will be Dr. Mahathir and the 8th Prime Minister will be Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim. There's no doubt about that. I think it's just people who probably want to find something, find some fault, find some noise, you know, just to keep the whole ambiguity going. But I think it's quite clear.
But there's two things about that. One is that the dates keep shifting. If at all there is a date, right? It's almost as if like we are playing football and halfway through we shift the goalposts. And then recently we also had Thun saying that it's now up to Parliament to decide. So what does all of this imply?
Actually, Thun has been quite consistent in saying that. If you look at a number of times that he's been asked about this prime ministership, he has said the same thing, which is when you look at the constitution, the Malaysian constitution, the federal constitution states quite clearly that the prime minister is a member of the House who has the majority support of members of the House. And he's just stating it's a constitutional fact. I don't think he's saying it more than just for what it is. He has said it before. He said it again. I think he will continue to say that just as it's just there in the constitution. But I think in terms of where we are, in terms of the numbers, I think we're quite firm. We're quite set. I think it's there.
Which leads me to your party, Fahmi, because within your party, I mean, it's quite a well-known fact that there is a bit of infighting, right? I mean, you've got your Azmin camp, you've got your Anwar camp, and all we see and hear is this internal power struggle between the two, which gives an impression that, hey, nobody's really working. Everybody's kind of just having their brickbats, right? So not so good optics, especially in a time when bread and butter issues are important. And at the same time, it does lead back to the point about Tun Mahathir saying the majority will decide. Is there the majority there in your own party?
Yeah, I think when you look at our party congress, which happened on the 7th, 8th and 9th of December, it was quite clear the delegates who attended, you know, 80% of the delegates came, and more than 90% of the division chiefs have stated openly the support for Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim. I think when Dato' Sri Anwar mentioned in relation to this whole rumours of a new coalition government, so to speak, what he said was that people who are bandying around numbers, those numbers are deceitful. They're not true because he would check with certain people. And you can see that Dato' Sri Anwar has been very consistent in the mechanism for verifying. So if people come up with lists, he would check. He would contact individuals, you know, just to find out, did you sign this? And then they would say, no, they didn't. So I think in terms of where PKR is, we're quite firm when it comes to party discipline. We're quite set. I think
are you all quite firm on party discipline?
We are.
I mean, the Renaissance, the dinner at Renaissance happened, right? That doesn't give an impression that, you know, things are out of control.
We're taking very serious disciplinary measures. So I won't say more than that because the disciplinary committee is having their meetings and they are investigating. Letters have been sent and people have to make representations. And we wait for the findings and recommendations from the disciplinary committee for the next step in that disciplinary process.
But is there going to be continued infighting? Because at the moment we do see, I mean, even Dato' Sri Azmin did say that he would like Dr. M to stay on as PM.
I think
that it's not party line, is there?
No, it's not the party line. And I think the party position when it comes to the party takes the precedence line. And that's quite clear. I think I, for one, you know, I stand with the president on this matter. And I think the majority of party members have stated that they wish to see. We fought for 20 years, Shaoning. Imagine, you know, like in 1998, 1999, I was, you know, a wee lad in the streets and helping in the first general election. Of course, I want to see Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim become prime minister. But at the same time, it's very important for us to make sure that people understand the priority of the party is to solve people's problems in the lead up to the party congress. Leadership went round the whole country talking about poverty and how we need to alleviate poverty. I was in London recently and I spent a good deal of my time with the program with the Foreign Commonwealth Office of the UK talking about looking at and trying to find solutions for social mobility and inequality and poverty.
The other critical thing is, of course, reform, right? But because with that, you know, then we really have that real change we're talking about, be it economic, legal or parliamentary, you know, reform. But I would say, hasn't the pace been very slow? Because, you know, you've got all this distraction going on.
Yeah, I wish, I think a lot of people wish for reforms to be moving a lot faster. I certainly hope that it can be done much faster. But also at the same time, now being a lawmaker for 2 years almost, I also recognize the kind of difficulties that we in Parliament face. We don't sit as long as some of our colleagues in other jurisdictions, in other countries. And even if we did, I think there's a lot of, in terms of narrative, in terms of optics, that people have to accept. I mean, like in KL, people want to see the third vote.
Yes.
You know, and this is something probably we'll talk about a little later. But again, there's a lot of things that need to be done. You can't talk about third vote without talking about reforms with KL City Hall, with the idea of even management of buildings, joint management bodies and management corporations. So I think it is about acclimatizing ourselves with democratization. We have to, apart from the reforms, increase work with understanding what democracy really means. It's not, democracy doesn't exist once every 5 years. Democracy has to be lived every single day.
Yes, but then we need the institutions to be in place, right, to ensure that democracy continues to exist regardless of whichever party comes into power. But anyway, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Lemba Pantai MP Fahmi Fazil. Up next, Fahmi's report card. And what's next for this political rising star? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9. This morning on the Breakfast Grill, we have Fahmi Fazil, MP for Lemba Pantai, in the studio. Just a moment ago, we were discussing the Pakatan Harapan Coalition government and whether it's heading for a breakup. And within the PKR party itself, why is there just so much infighting? But Fahmi, let's get back to Lemba Pantai. Why don't you start by telling me what are your priorities there as the MP of this 20 square kilometre constituent?
It feels a lot bigger than that. There are four key things that I focus on: education, employment, housing, and urban planning. This year, I have two key flagship programs. One is a job center. The other one is I'm taking 100 families under my wing, so to speak, to use a whole of society approach to take them out of poverty. Beyond that, I'm looking at things including welfare for not just the urban poor, but also for the boys in blue, so to speak, PDRM. Bukit Aman is in my constituency. The Inspector General of the Police and several former IGPs are my voters. So definitely things like the upcoming IPCMC bill is something which is a focus for me as well. Beyond that, it's primarily about development, making sure that no one's left behind. One of the big problems that we have with education, for example, is that there's a lot of students who get left out, keciciran. They drop out. And this is a serious problem, not only facing Lembah Pantai, but several other, of course, the whole of Kuala Lumpur. A lot of it is because of the pressures of living in a city. Parents find it difficult to make ends meet, and so sometimes they don't prioritize education for their children. So a number of these initiatives for me this year will be focusing on these.
But how can we prevent these kids from unfortunately dropping out of school? I mean, as you say, these are real life challenges, right? If your family doesn't make enough money, then there would always be pressure on kids to leave school and find jobs. I mean,
the Department of Education for Kuala Lumpur has been doing quite a good job. They started this program last year called Project Based Learning, working with schools to get kids to be interested to come to school. But I've also given a commitment that if there are kids who, for whatever reason, have not been attending school for a certain amount of time, I want to visit them to find out.
But do you have enough eyes on so many residents? I mean,
Well, I've got 12 schools in Lembah Pantai, and I have good working relationships with the headmasters and also the PIBGs. and also it's working with community leaders to find out what's really going on the ground.
I mean, this is a divergent topic, but what are your views on teaching science and maths in English? Is that going to be good for your residents in Lembah Pantai, for the kids there?
Yeah, I think if you go to some place like Bangsa, there's probably a lot more demand for that. But if you go to places like Pantai Dalam, Taman Sri Sentosa, I think there's a lot of catching up to do. One of the programs that I run is with an NGO called My Readers, and what we do is provide free English lessons. And you can see that there's a lot of catching up to do.
Where do you stand on this issue?
I think we have to make sure that there are enough teachers. I'm informed that just in Kuala Lumpur, there are a certain number of teachers that positions that we need to fill. So that is a priority. I want to, if it were up to me, I would like to see teachers to be better paid, that they would be now the kind of reforms that were started by the former education minister, and I'm sure will be continued by the Pemangku Menteri Pendidikan, will focus on making sure that teachers spend more time teaching rather than being administrators.
But do you think it should be taught in English, maths and science, own view?
Yeah, I think there should be an option. Yeah.
An option.
Yeah, but for example, I learn maths and science in Malay. But after a while, because I studied in the US, I had to learn very quickly. But maybe my circumstances are slightly different than what's faced by a lot of others. I think we have to match between the policy and what's really happening on the ground. This kind of the difference between reality and rhetoric is really, I think, the biggest learning point from something like Brexit. There was, at that time, I was in London recently on Brexit Day, and I learned that one of the main problems that people face is that there's a big difference between the rhetoric and the reality. So I think even within Pakatan Harapan, the message to MPs is we have to go down to the ground to really see for ourselves how poverty is affecting our communities and what policies are not being executed well enough.
What do you think is not being executed well enough?
I think we just don't have enough manpower. Yeah, I mean, you look at poverty, for example. Yeah, the numbers in Lembah Pantai, according to the some broad numbers. So, the welfare department, for example, would say that in Lembah Pantai, out of maybe a total population, according to Department of Statistics, is about 180,000 residents in Lembah Pantai. Maybe 4,000 of the residents are receiving some kind of welfare aid from the government. But when you look at something like IKASIH, which is under the Prime Minister's department, the number is maybe like 10% of that. So a lot of times, the disparity between different agencies is really about the manpower that they have to deploy. So what a lot of us in Pakatan Harapan are trying to do is break down these silos, making sure that agencies work with each other so that we don't spend more time reinventing the wheel. But really, we need to make sure this year the focus is on the economy, making sure that we help people make ends meet, putting food on plates, putting ringgits in wallets.
But with all this political distraction, is there the will to do that, people are somewhat getting a bit impatient. That's the issue also.
Yeah, I think people are impatient because when, economy is something that really affects us. And we
see that with five by-election losses almost.
Yeah. I think the signal from particularly Tanjung Piai and Kimanis is not lost on the leadership. That's why we feel that we have to focus on issues around poverty, economy. We have to strengthen the administration. And to me, when you mentioned that, this whole Pakatan Nasional or something like that, that's a buzzword that's being created by the media. To me, perhaps to sell papers, or clickbaity. Because, media also is under a lot of pressure these days. So I don't fault the media for trying to find an angle on that. And I think politicians also should be aware and should avoid providing fodder. To me, the priority should be to help the rakyat feel that under this new administration, their lives are a lot better. I think we can get there. It's just making sure that the policies are executed well.
Yeah, just a question of whether you run out of time, though, before the next general election.
Well, time is never on our side.
And then moving back to Lembah Pantai, I want to talk about urban development or redevelopment, because I think most of us who live in KL, the litany of complaints is never ending, right? We've got traffic woes, we've got lack of urban planning, illegal structures, you name it, we face it. So we have a lot of DBKL bylaws covering everything from renovation, building approval, licensing, noise, for example, traffic offences. But I think as an MP of a KL, you would know that enforcement is an issue, right? And sometimes as KL residents, we feel almost helpless. We know these bylaws exist to protect us, but somehow they are ignored. I mean, what is being done, for us KL residents?
I think one of the major reforms that we need to see with KL City Hall actually is adoption of technology, whether it's new algorithms to help them solve these kind of problems. What I find is that sometimes DBKL, my working relationship with both the mayor and DBKL has been fantastic. They have been...
With the new mayor, new mayor.
Yeah, his tenureship is about... I think his contract ends in September, end of September, I believe.
Yeah, 2 years from January 2018.
Yes, and I think he's done a fairly good job. He's been very tough, he's been very stern. I think DBKL also is undergoing a lot of internal changes. But I also find that a lot of times they just don't have enough staff.
But is there better transparency in like their funding and how they come to their decisions? Because for a lot of DBKL bylaws, right, they have this right to overrule whatever the bylaw is. You know? And I think that frustrates residents sometimes when they bring a complaint.
Yeah, at least in Mapantai, I try to make sure that any problems, residents get a clear avenue to communicate with DBKL. for example, we have this piece of land in Bangsa, behind the Bangsa Mosque. Mm. And for a long time, people have wondered what has been going on with this 0.4 acres of land.
This tiny triangle in the middle, by the road.
Yeah, and for the first time ever, I managed to do a town hall. I invited the developer, I invited people from DBKL, and the person who came was a very senior executive director. And I don't think we ever seen something like that before. I think that is going to be the new normal, at least in Mapantai, and I'm trying to get my colleagues to do the same.
But would it be better if we just had a third vote? If we voted for our mayor rather than it be appointed for us, you know? So, like an MP in Ardun, the person is accountable to voters. You know?
Okay. I mean, this is where like Kuala Lumpur is quite unique because when you compare us with, say, Petaling Jaya,
for example, we don't have aduns, right?
Yeah, we don't have aduns, we don't have local councillors. Mm. So, as a member of parliament, I play three roles. I play MP, adun, and local councillor. And I play a counsellor, in fact, I counsel people and try to help them feel not so despondent. But even if we had a third vote, I think it's a mistake to think that that's going to be solving the problems. I'll give a very ballpark figure. In 2018, there are about 5,000 joint management bodies or management corporations managing a lot of strata properties throughout Kuala Lumpur. Did you know that 95% of these strata properties, apartments, condominiums, whether they are low cost, high end, 95% of these JMBs and MCs were not functioning properly. 99% did not submit their financial returns, audited financial accounts to the Commission of Buildings. That is a serious problem. If you want to talk about third vote, before we get to that stage, we've got to make sure that the local vote, where you live, where you pay your building maintenance, you get that vote and you understand your relationship with your building.
Yeah, but then, I mean, it still doesn't take away the fact that we should still have local council elections, right? Basically all, I would say, would you call them public servants are accountable, because at this moment, we don't have that relationship with them, right?
It's about democracy at the end of the
day. And it's also part of this whole overall reform, overarching issue that we want to have with this new government, right?
We need to make sure that the voice of the people is not heard only on social media. We need to have more engagement with local government. And the idea of governance itself has to change, not only for the electorate, but also for the elected or for civil servants. I think there has to be a fundamental shift there.
And, congratulations on being the first MP to submit your report card. Great, you hold yourself accountable, which we just mentioned a minute ago.
Thank you.
But where did you fall short?
I think one of the big problems that we face is trying to solve a lot of the problems. Yeah, I find that a lot of times, just as an example, in a day I may get like 10 complaints. And because we have to work with DBKL or other government agencies, sometimes, we might not be able to solve all 10. So things spill over to the next day and the next day. So one of my biggest failures, I think, is making sure that in terms of following up with a lot of these cases. And sometimes, like I said before, sometimes it's a matter of manpower. Sometimes it's a matter of, where the law currently sits. I wish that reforms can move a lot faster. And I'm not happy with how fast reforms are going on. But at the same time, I think the reforms have to be something that can be felt by people, not just, for purposes of democracy, climbing up the ranks, for example, which we've done.
And Fahmi, what's next for you? Because you're the political rising star in the party, right? Is it a ministerial post? There is already one vacant and maybe another one soon, and even talk of a cabinet reshuffle. So
Well, that's not my call. I think that's the Prime Minister's. The onus is on the Prime Minister. But I think
If it was offered to you, would it be something you would consider?
Well, don't put me on the spot.
That's what the Breakfast Grill is all about.
I like to serve. I like to serve.
Well, that's what your mother told you to do, right? Be to berkhidmat and not yang berhormat. Those are her words to
that's
you.
Right.
So, yes, no, Minister reports?
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
On that note, thank you for your time, Fahmi, for telling us your plans for Lembah Pantai and shedding some light on the Pakatan Harapan. I'm Wong Xiaoning for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.